Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
New York's Country 94.7 cares about our community. We're talking about issues that matter to you and your family. This is New York Matters.
I have two very special guests in studio with me this morning, and it's all about the pajama program. Founder Genevieve Paturo and Executive Director Jamie Dice. Good morning, ladies.
Hey, Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
So happy you two could come in. For about the first half hour, we're going to talk about the pajama program with the executive director, Jamie Dice. After that, we'll touch base with Genevieve, who founded the pajama program and is still very clearly involved. She's here, but she's also moved on to tell others her story and inspire them to get off the fast track and follow their hearts.
Part two of pajama program, yeah.
While you're there talking, little Missy, why don't you tell everybody what the pajama program is all about?
Sure. Well, almost 20 years ago, I was giving books and reading to children in shelters here in New York City. And when I noticed they didn't have pajamas to sleep in, they were sleeping in their clothes, I thought I had this great idea to bring pajamas the next time. And I did. I brought pajamas to the children in the shelter. And when I was giving them out after I read them stories, one little girl wouldn't take them. She stared at me, and finally she said, "Miss, what are pajamas?" And that moment changed everything from me being a corporate ladder climber in New York City to wanting to change this situation for these children. I could think of nothing else. So that one instance, and I'll talk more about that later, just changed everything for me. And now I was executive director and founder for all these years, and I wanted to do more speaking, and so wanted to find the perfect executive director. And a couple years ago, said, "Jamie, this is for you if you want it." And Jamie was our board president at one point too, so she knew and loved pajama program, and she's taking pajama program to an even higher level. And I'd love her to tell us more about, you know, our plans next.
Yeah, so what Genevieve started all those years ago, she really ignited a movement, really a mission to help children, not just here in our own community, but really all across the country. And in fact, children in other countries really understand what it means to have a good night for a good day.
I love that tagline that you guys use, because obviously rings true with homeless children everywhere and in New York City. But with adults, if you think about how much more productive you are if you have a good night's sleep, if you go to bed and wake up rested.
Yeah, it's so true. Good nights are good days. I mean, I know how I feel after I've had a really bad night's sleep. Now, imagine what that might be like for a child who, you know, bedtime is completely out of a child's control, where they're sleeping, who's in the room at night, the temperature of the room, if they're sleeping in a bed at all, for that matter, if they're sleeping in pajamas, if they have someone there to tuck them in with a comforting bedtime story. These are all things that so many children just simply don't have. And that's where pajama program comes in.
That's the national program, which you execute here in New York City. But the key component to the New York City program is the Reading Center.
Yes, that's right. So at Pajama Program, we're really all about connection. We know that pajamas are more than the cloth. We know that the book is more than the paper the words are printed on. It's really a tool. It's a tool to transform bedtime. It's that time of day when kids are really the most vulnerable, right before the lights go out. At Pajama Program, we know that our gifts for bedtime are magical tools to transform that vulnerable time of day for kids right before they go off to sleep at night, that the pajamas are more than the simple clothing. We know that books are more than the pages that they're printed on. It's an offer of comfort from one human being to another. It's an adult who's there at night that's, you know, handing a book and reading that book with a child and taking that time and investing in that connection. And the pajamas, well, they feel like a warm, cozy hug. Mm-hmm. And it's that moment at bedtime that means so much to so many of us. I know I have plenty of memories myself of what it was like growing up and my mom, pre-K teacher, tucking me in at night. And I know so many of us have our own children and what it means to all of us to have that special time at bedtime. But for so many children around the country, for whatever reason, bedtime may be lacking something. The routine may be lacking something. And that's really where Pajama Program comes in. So at our reading centers, we've taken that one step further. We know that the pajamas and books help. They're really an olive branch between adult and child to build that connection, that loving bond.
And security. I kind of feel like that, like security and routine. We all need that. But as the mother of three kids, you know, that became that routine that's comforting to them, that makes them feel like, okay, this is what we do. This is how we calm ourselves down at night. And I remember interviewing a psychologist years ago about the best time to talk to kids of any age. And it's two places. When you're laying in bed together and you're not looking directly at each other, right? You're just talking. There's not that pressure. And also in the car.
It's so true. You know, it's so true.
You can have these conversations that are casual and they're comfortable. It's not kind of looking at each other in the eyes. So there's no pressure. That's what I loved about reading to my kids. I mean, I usually, with my morning show, fell asleep. I'd be like, Mom, finish the book. Finish the book, please. But it is that routine that they need.
Yeah, routine is probably one of the greatest antidotes to instability. And for children whose lives are affected by instability in a variety of ways, it may be economic instability, it could be housing instability. There are so many variations of that in our kids' lives, a pajama program that we meet and get to know every day. And so when we opened our reading center, it was really meant to be a warm, safe, cozy environment where we can invite groups of children here locally in the area to come in and simply bond with adult volunteers and connect. And in order to really foster that connection and build that connection, we give children books, new books, and new pajamas. Maybe I should just touch on that for a second. All of our books and pajamas that we give to the children are always new. And we think about, you know, there are so many children who have so many things they don't know what to do with. I mean, so many. I know Marie Kondo is a really hot topic right now.
Yes, yes.
Everybody's offloading all of their, you know, secondhand items. But when you think about what that means to a child who may not have much, who may be showing up at a shelter tonight with only the clothes on their back, to receive something new is sometimes unheard of. Mm-hmm. And it makes them feel seen and valued, and there's dignity in that mm-hmm. gift. And so that's what we're trying to create, a pajama program. We want every child to feel seen. We want every kid to feel like every other kid out there, because after all, kids are kids. They really just want to have fun. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see on the faces of the kids who come into the reading center here in New York every day. You know, sometimes volunteers who have never been into the reading center before, they may say, well, what's it like? Do they come in, or are the kids sad? Are they crying? And I'll tell you what, for the most part, the kids who come in there and they're so excited. The doors open. We have a warm, cozy brownstone space right by Grand Central, so conveniently located for all you volunteers out there who are interested. So the kids, we open the doors and the children come in, and at first you see they're a little bit tentative, and the looks on their faces are like, okay, well, where am I? What's happening next to me in my life, right? Like, mm-hmm. you made me get on this bus, now here I am, and what are you doing with me here? And almost immediately that apprehension almost melts away. And they see the bright colors. They see our bookshelves lined with all of them.
I have been there. It's very homey.
Yes. And all of those mm-hmm. books. I mean, all my childhood favorites are there. Thanks to Scholastic, our
Goodnight
lead book
Moon.
Partner.
Come
oh,
on.
My gosh. Goodnight Moon.
Go, Dog, Go.
Yes, of course. Harry Potter. I mean, and that's the other thing. We have books for the real little ones all the way up to 18 years old.
Nice.
Because that's the group of kids we're aiming to support.
That's awesome.
So they come in, they have a great time. There's a nice icebreaker moment. The kids are paired off one-on-one by our fantastic Reading Center program manager, Chrissy. Each adult pairs off with a child, and they're told, okay, have at it. And they go to our bookshelves, and the kids can pick out whatever book their heart desires. They can share that book with that adult. And it's not about learning to read. It's not about trying to teach them words for a test in school. It's about using that book as a tool to get that child to open up and to share a moment and to feel seen and valued.
Mm-hmm. And that connection you were talking about.
Yes, exactly. Connection is the core of everything that we're doing at Pajama Program. And we focus on the bedtime routine because we know, as you mentioned, Kelly, that is probably the most vulnerable time of day for all kids, mm-hmm. really. And so to have a kid be able to open up at bedtime, it can make the difference. It could be a life-changing moment for adult and child, as a matter of fact.
Jamie Dice is our guest this morning with Pajama Program. She's the executive director. The founder, Genevieve Pichuro, is staying very quiet, but we're going to make her talk here in just a little bit. We were discussing the Reading Center near Grand Central in the Brownstone. That is a great place for the Pajama Program to connect with the kids you serve. It's under renovation, though. Let's talk about what you're doing to make it even better than it already is. Because as I said, I've been there. It's so homey, so cozy. What are you all doing with that?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Kelly. We actually finished phase one of our renovation plans earlier this fall, last fall, I should say. And really our goal was, we had a few goals in mind. Number one, we have thousands of children on our wait list that are just waiting to come in and meet everyone out there who wants to volunteer and meet our kids. They're waiting to come in to participate in our programs. And we know that we simply can't bring all of the kids in because there isn't enough space and there just frankly aren't enough hours in the day to meet the need for the kids here in New York City. But we can do our best to try to meet that need. So we took a look around our space and we realized, you know what? There are some things we could do here. Let's take our staff and move them around the corner. So we have a very generous donor who has given us an office suite, GFP Realty, and they have welcomed us there into the office suite. And now we've made so much more space for the kids at the Reading Center. So we can actually bring in more children and more volunteers, and we can bring in more groups of kids
that's
and volunteers.
That's great. Because, yeah, before it was the office yeah. and the Reading Center.
Correct.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah. So, and now we've done a bit of work to the space to make it even more warm and inviting. And it's been a great work in progress. So we are in fact open, and we're welcoming groups of children every single day. And kids come in, they share a story, they have a healthy snack, they go home with a new pair of pajamas and a new book, or wherever they may be sleeping at night. And the one thing that we like to say at our reading centers, though, both here in New York, and we also have another reading center in Atlanta, we like to talk to the kids at the end of the program hour to say, you know, we hope that you'll take these gifts with you, and wherever you may be sleeping tonight, we hope you remember the fun time that you had here. We hope that you remember, you know, frankly, that somebody cares. That's really what we're trying to convey. And so that when children go to sleep at night, they can hold on to that memory and they remember what it was like to make that new friend. And they put on those warm, cozy PJs and, you know, feel good before they drift off.
You know, just listening to you talk about the kids that come in there, it's easy to talk about this and not really hear what you're saying. Like literally kids who don't have a home, don't have a regular bed. Are these kids who might be sleeping on the streets, or are they shelters and streets? What's happening?
Potentially, yes. So for the most part, our programming, because it's offered Monday through Friday during school hours, usually the kids come in with their groups from school. And sometimes we know the background of what certain children may be experiencing when we're not there through their teachers. But for the most part, we know that the children are coming from states of chaos. So whether they're maybe residing in a shelter tonight, whether they are, you know, with their families, whether they're separated from their families, they may be in foster care, they may be living in a group home. We often have groups of kids come in from shelters, from group homes, from other local organizations in the area that make up our list of thousands of community partners. The list is large and the need is really great. And we do support children infant through age 18. So the little ones all the way up to the older kids. And we don't like those older kids to feel overlooked or forgotten. They really need us too. And all of us, all adults, doesn't matter what your situation in life is, but we all need to feel connected to one another.
And are they coming from all five boroughs? Where are they from mostly?
They come mostly from, well, I'll say all of the boroughs, probably except Staten Island, because that would be a very long bus ride for them to get to the reading center. But we do pay for all the costs of their visits to the reading center. So they're coming from all over. We pay for the cost of the transportation to and from their group or from their school. We pay for the cost of the program itself, which includes the pajamas, the books, the space, the staffing, the healthy snack, and all of the work that goes into making sure that this is an excellent experience for the children, but also our volunteers, because we know they get a lot out of it, too.
Well, I hear you plugging the volunteers. Now, this is your opportunity to bring some in to help at the Reading Center. I'm sure now that the renovation is through that first phase, you do have more space for more people.
Yes. Thank you, Kelly.
You're
we
welcome.
Love our volunteers. Our volunteers are really, we could not do what we do were it not for our volunteers. Our volunteers have the biggest hearts. And in fact, all we ask of them, apart from completing a quick background check and that they're over 18 years old, is that they come in with an open heart, that they're willing to share a moment of their day with a child and open up a book together. And, you know, it's funny. I actually started a pajama program as a volunteer myself, and I started bringing colleagues over with me when I was back when I was practicing law. And I remember the first time I brought over a group of fellow lawyers and a couple of the guys, you know, in their suits and their ties. And they said to me, they're like, oh, man, you know, how do I do this? What do? They were really nervous. They were so nervous to go to
they're
the
like,
reading
settle
center.
Down, counselor. You just be a human.
Yeah, exactly. And oh, my God. The guys came in, and not only that, but the voices and the acting
oh,
and the
that's funny.
It was the craziest thing. So it was really fun. You learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about, you know, the people in your life when you're interacting with a child. And that's really what it's about. You know, we're not asking anyone to do anything perfectly. We're just asking to make a new friend.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And how can people volunteer if they want to do that?
Great question. So you can visit us at pajamaprogram.org. And we have all the information you'll need there on our website about volunteering. You could also stop by the Reading Center. We're at 114 East 39th Street between Lex and Park, right near Grand Central. And we're always looking for new big-hearted individuals here in the area to come in and participate.
Speaking of shout-outs, you mentioned how important your partners are. Here's an opportunity to show them some love.
Yeah, I mean, we have wonderful partners. In fact, we're in our 10th year of our partnership right now with Carter's, which has been really, really wonderful. Carter's has been so good to us over the years. They do a lot to support our work. They believe in our mission to promote and support a comforting bedtime routine for children everywhere to help them thrive. And it's through our partnership with Carter's that we're able to really be able to spread love and share our gifts of pajamas with children all over the country. So Carter's is our lead pajama partner. And through our partnership with Scholastic, our lead book partner, we've also been able to impact thousands and thousands of children as well. And we're able to give them the great books that I know that so many of us have loved and enjoyed as kids and now maybe as adults with our own children. So we're able to share those gifts with our kids as well.
Scholastic just feels like a warm glass of milk and cookies. Like when you think of childhood books, that's what I think of Scholastic. So that's
absolutely
awesome.
Those book order forms.
Yes!
I lived for that day. I lived for that
me
day
too.
When I was growing up. Yeah.
Jamie, you mentioned connection, and part of that connection kind of branches out to caregiver programs.
Yeah.
So you got the Reading Center, you've got the pajamas and the books for the national program you distribute. What about the caregiver programs?
So at Pajama Program, we're now in our 18th year, and we've given over 6 million pajamas and books to children around the country, which is amazing. I mean,
truly,
I think about that and what Genevieve has created, and it's very powerful. And we've gotten to this point, though, now in our evolution as an organization that through the support of so many of our great partners and volunteers and donors and everyone in our pajama program community, we've been able to accomplish so much together that now as we look to the future, we're ready to take on more. And what that means is that we are looking to really become an ally to our caregivers. So as I mentioned before, that children, you know, children don't put themselves to sleep at night. In fact, if it were up to them, I don't know if there would be any bedtime rules, right? But in our work, we've learned that the caregivers really benefit so much from our gifts of pajamas and books as well. Not only is it an icebreaker between the adult and the child, but it's really a way for those caregivers to make sure that there is a routine in place before bedtime. That, you know, maybe they turn off the TV for a minute, that they ask their kids to put away their phones, and they have that quiet time of day. And that's really what makes all the difference.
And perhaps if they're homeless, maybe they're part of the cycle of homeless and they never got that as a kid, so they don't know how to give that to their kids.
It's very true. And, you know, so we've been talking to thousands, and we have thousands of community partners, and we've begun to really talk to them now as we develop this caregiver programming, also with the assistance of our first ever Goodnight Advisory Council, which is a really exciting new thing for us, a pajama program, a group of 8 experts in the field of child wellness as it relates to sleep.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so through this work with our council and through coming to understand the needs of our community partners that work with the children every single day around the country, we're learning a lot more about the challenges that the children and the caregivers face at bedtime. So I'll give you an example. One of our community partners, uptown here in New York, El Nido, they are doing fantastic work and assisting new mothers or women who are pregnant, and they help children from ages 0 to 3. And we know that children's brains develop, the most development that takes place in their brains is between the age of 0 to 3. And so having that routine in place is so critical. And when we've spoken with our partners up there, they've told us, you know, that the women that they meet with and serve are often immigrant families, so dealing with English as a second language, or maybe not understanding English at all, that's a challenge. And then perhaps, you know, their spouse may be working very late hours, and they may be living in a one-room environment where everyone's sharing one bed. So when dad gets home at night, maybe he's a dishwasher all the way downtown, he gets home at night and he opens the door and he wakes everybody up because mm-hmm. he's home. And now all of a sudden, you know, baby's up, baby's crying, mom can't get to sleep, dad can't get to sleep, dad's angry. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very, it's a compound effect. Mm-hmm. And it might sound, you know, oh, okay, but that's every single night. And if you have a child that isn't sleeping, think about how that impacts you as the mom and mm-hmm. as the dad. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to really tackle these challenges head on and supporting our community partners. We're creating resources for them. We're sharing our resources around bedtime about why this routine is so critical. And there are some ways to sort of meet these challenges so that we can, you know, hopefully all get a better night's rest.
Besides parents, what kind of caregivers are you coming across?
Absolutely. So caregivers come in all shapes and sizes, right? And for us, a pajama program, because we focus on bedtime, when we refer to caregivers, we're talking about the person who's there at night tucking that child in. Because for the most part, kids are not putting themselves to bed. There's probably going to be somebody there. Now, whether or not that person is truly available in that moment, maybe another question. But yes, our kids come to us from shelters, through group homes. You know, they're facing all sorts of challenges. And when you think about it, who's there at night actually telling that child, okay, it's time for bed? Mm-hmm. You know, who's helping them into bed? If they're being helped into bed, there may not be a bed in the room. So what are the things we can do to help that particular adult in that specific moment? Because that moment means everything. We talk at Pajama Program about closing the 24-hour good day loop and how that all starts at bedtime.
Good nights, good days.
That's right. It.
We've covered the people you serve. We've covered volunteers. Now what about money? I mean, I can't imagine that renovations happen for free or that expanding your programming happens for free.
That is so true. Yes, without the support of our community, we simply would not be. And of course, renovating New York City real estate, it doesn't come easy, nor does it come cheap. So we are always looking for support. Through that renovation process, because we are now able to bring more groups of children in every day, the costs of our programming have vastly increased. So we are always looking for support in that sense, good-hearted people to help us. We certainly receive a lot of pajamas and a lot of books, which is always wonderful, but we do need funding to help us make our programs go, frankly. And as we develop our caregiver programming, that too takes resources. So any little bit helps. There's no amount that's too small. And I should also mention that we're having our biggest event of the year. We're really, really excited. It's our very unique, I'll say it's a unique gala. Now, there are a lot of galas out there, but ours is totally the best.
Do we get to wear pajamas?
Well, no pajama wearing at the gala. However, this year our theme, it's the gala, first of all, is May 1st. That's a Wednesday night, May Day, for those of you who may not remember the date, May Day.
Nice.
At Capitale downtown. And it's a beautiful space. We invite hundreds of people, and it's going to be a great, fun party. Our theme this year, pajama program in the Chocolate Factory, will highlight the importance of the caregiver relationship. I'm personally, Roald Dahl is my favorite author of all time.
The best.
I mean, kid, adult, author, favorite author.
Yep.
But Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, for everyone who knows the story, I'm sure many of us do, really, you know, when we think of that story, we think about Willy Wonka. Mm-hmm. But if you pause for a minute and you think back, it's really Charlie and the love he has from his grandpa Joe that gives him that confidence.
And he was in a very insecure, unstable environment, really.
Yes, he was. He really was. And just goes to show what a little bit of love can do for a child. Mm-hmm. And, of course, finding a golden ticket or two, right? But, and a little bit of chocolate, which will have a lot of chocolate.
Nice.
And I should also mention our premier chocolate sponsor for the evening is Harlem Chocolate Factory. They are fabulous. Their chocolate is literally to die for. And they are all about bringing the flavors of the community and really representing their roots through chocolate, frankly. And I was up there with Carla Hall, who's on our board, and she's a fantastic supporter of ours. We were up visiting the ladies of Harlem Chocolate Factory recently, and I might have OD'd a little bit that day on chocolate.
Never.
Will have tons of chocolate on May 1st, so please come.
How can we get tickets to the big gala on May 1st?
If you visit our website, pajamaprogram.org, it's on our main page. You can't miss it. It's our gala pajama program on the Chocolate Factory. And for anyone who's interested in sponsoring, we would love to talk to you. Or if you like chocolate in any way, we'd like to talk to you. If you like candy.
I love it. Anything else we didn't cover, Jamie, with the pajama program that we need to hit on before we switch over to Genevieve?
I just would like to say that we are so grateful to our community. We would not be here were it not for our community of supporters, our volunteers, our board, our staff, our partners, our chapter presidents, also volunteers. Everyone has gotten us this far, and we are so grateful. So thank you. And thank you, Kelly, for having us today.
100% my pleasure. Love what y'all do. Jamie Dice is the executive director of the Pajama Program. Now we're going to shift to the founder of the Pajama Program, Genevieve Pichero. Ms. Genevieve, take us back 18 years ago to when you started this crazy journey.
Yeah, I can't believe how fast time goes. We're all saying that, right?
Yeah. And your story is so inspirational to anyone, especially now. I mean, it's a timeless, universal story. You were climbing the corporate ladder. Mm-hmm. You were on the fast track.
Yeah, I wanted to be that single New York girl, Mary Tyler Moore, you know, making it to president of something in Manhattan, which was foreign to my family's, you know, ambitions for me. My dad came from Italy off the boat. My mom was first generation. They expected their first of four kids to get married and have children. And that wasn't my route.
They didn't expect you to have thousands of children.
Right,
which is
right.
Kind of
now they sort of, they've come to understand. Right, well, you had kids in a different way. And you know, I say that that's the universe's way of, you know, sharing things. And I don't bring the children home with me, although I would love to. So I can't say that, you know, it's anything as intense or as responsible as a parent, because it is a different way of mothering. But it brought out my motherly instincts, you know.
A few years back, you took a back seat in your role as executive director. Now that's what Jamie Dice, who we just talked to, is doing, to take on a new venture, to kind of tap into that original spirit of the courage to step outside the expectations of your parents and the expectations of society and do something where you follow your heart and have success at that.
Yes, you said it perfectly. Courage is the big word. You know, I didn't plan on this. I was in my mid-30s and I really thought I had a great life. I was doing, you know, what lots of people come to New York City to do. And there was a little whisper in my brain that said, if this is the next 30 years, is this enough? And I realized that through the workaholic mentality that I had, you know, come to know, that it wasn't enough for the next 30 years. And I chose, for whatever reason, and I can't tell you how, I chose to listen to that voice, that heart voice, I call it. Because every day, everyone, including me, we ignore those voices. We get so many little, you know, little nudges in our brain. Oh, maybe we could do this, or wouldn't it be great if we could abandon what we're doing because we're not really loving it for truthful and do this. But we rarely take that jump, make that leap. And I did. I don't know what made me do it, except that when I met that little girl and realized I had missed the children track.
Retell that story real quick in case people missed it at the beginning.
Sure,
because I think that's crucial to you founding Pajama Program and doing what you're doing now.
Okay, sure. Because I heard that voice that said, is this enough? And I realized I was missing something. I thought long and hard, what could I do in my busy day and night as a workaholic to get children into my life, you know, besides nephews and nieces and those children that I got to see once in a while. So I went to read in shelters, and it was late at night. And I was welcomed and sat on the floor in my corporate pantsuit the first and second time. I didn't
even
realize.
Pantsuits were a thing.
Yes. I sat on the floor. There weren't many chairs. And this room was pretty sterile. They said, you know, make yourself comfortable. You have books with you. We'll bring some children in. And that's what happened. They literally walked a group of dozen children in who sat on the floor with me. And I read stories. And it was a very quiet night because I didn't know then what I know now, the background these children were facing, but it was traumatic and, you know, very difficult for them, and they were afraid. So I read the stories, and time after time, I watched them go into another room to go to sleep. And when I one night decided to look, peer into that room, I was heartbroken. It was a sterile room, lovely caregivers, but there's only so much you can do when you're a caregiver and you have, you know, 12 or 20 children in a difficult situation to be warm and fuzzy at a bedside. And it was just a reality check for me. They had nothing to change into. Half of them were crying. And it just was all wrong to me. It wasn't what my mom had given me, the love and support and everything that you and Jamie were talking about before this. And I brought pajamas the next time, not knowing what would happen, except I would give the pajamas out. But when one little girl wouldn't take them, and at the end of my giving them to everyone else, she looked at me and she whispered, Miss, what are pajamas? Everything changed in my brain. I almost felt the switch off of the corporate life and the big green light. You know, this is it. This is something. Grab this. And I didn't know what to do with it besides just walk around in a daze for the next week thinking, what am I doing thinking about this? What in the world could I possibly do? I couldn't abandon my career. I'm a single woman making a living. But it's that heart voice that if we listen to it and we find that human connection, which has always been about, we can touch people, not just the children or the people that we see who need us, but we get support because we connect with everyone who hears the story. Everyone can feel what that little girl's pain was in that moment. I don't know why we can, but we can. Mm-hmm. Every time people hear a story about something and they act, it's because there's that human connection. So I wanted, after 18 years, to relive the beginning of Pajama Program, which, of course, was my favorite part, telling people about it and answering the tough question, how are you going to pay for food. How are you going to, why are you going to do this? And, you know,
you're crazy.
Yeah. Naysayers along the way. Let me tell you, you know, I lost a couple of friends who just didn't get it and didn't, you know, didn't even want to know. Mm-hmm. It scared me. It's very, very scary. But sometimes you hear that heart voice connection and half of you is saying, jump, jump. And the other half of you is saying, are you crazy? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to jump. Mm-hmm. And you got to sort of feel your way through. And it's bonding with people. It's being true to yourself. It's knowing deep down time is going on. Time is passing. Are you not happy? Are you not a suit person anymore? Have you changed? Did something in you die a little every day for the last 5 years? What are you waiting for?
And that answer can be different for some people, right?
Yes.
You may be totally fulfilled in your suit. And that's, I feel like that's really what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
People don't hear that voice, and the voice might not even be to start a charity.
No, it doesn't have to be a start a charity. It could make any kind of a change in your life. It can be another job. It can certainly be a charity. It can be a different lifestyle. It could be a move. It's all scary.
It's almost like finding your purpose.
Yeah. It's finding your pajamas. You know, I say, what are your pajamas?
Oh,
you know,
that's
happened
great.
To be, I found my purpose in pajamas. So I, you know, I tell people, find your pajamas. And if I can help, I'd love to share my story and tell you it's not easy. What you're feeling, if you're feeling about jumping in any way, shape, or form, it's not easy, but it is. Look, if I did it, Kelly, anybody can do it. I had no clue. Mm-hmm. None. And I clawed my way through and saw the light at the end of the tunnel. And it is more than possible. And it changes everything. It changes who's in your life. It changes what your life is. It changes how you feel. It's your heart that is speaking from that point on, not your head.
As you go out and speak to people about kind of following your passion, what kind of stories are you hearing from people that want to make a change but just haven't been able to listen to that voice? The voice hasn't been loud enough for whatever reason.
A lot of people who've reached out to me all these years, a lot of women who are in their mid to late 30s, I think that's a point where women especially, and I'm sure men too, stop and realize, okay, I've been chasing the money. I've been on
raising
the path.
Raising kids, whatever.
Yes.
You're
I've been on this path.
Uber responsible. If you're,
this responsibility path, and this is what is expected of me. It's what I expected of myself to be an adult. And I'm at this point now where the world is a different place. I'm in a different place. Is this the next 30 years and is it okay? The same question that I heard. And I think it's because we've been following this path, it is scary. If you start out, which now is wonderful, I get a lot of calls from people who are starting careers, kids in college, even in high school, who are thinking about nonprofit as a career choice, which is great because you can do that now. You know, you can get a job in nonprofit and you can live. And it's a wonderful choice for young people. So that group is easier to, they're easily nudged into the reasons to take a path of nonprofit. The ones who are in their 30s and a little older are more anxious to do it and also a little more nervous.
Because they probably feel like they have more to lose.
They do. And I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
So there's more fear about the change.
Sure. But, you know, do you want to be in the same place in 5 years? You know, do you? I mean, that's what I ask. And they'll always say no. But what's my first step? So, you know, I like to work with individuals on the steps that they need to take and to be that person that they know has been there. Not somebody who had the money to do whatever I wanted, didn't have to worry about it. Oh boy, I had to worry about it. So I can share that and connect with them on that level. And then for a lot of groups, I speak to a lot of empowerment groups about taking charge of your life if it means getting off the path you're on and what it means to do something, and whether it's nonprofit or change anything in your life, it's possible.
Genevieve, you just don't go and speak to people. You do individual kind of life coaching consulting too.
Sure, whatever. Right. If there's one-on-one consulting, it's groups, speaking to groups and panels or whatever. Whoever is interested in exploring, shall we say, the commitment they may or may not make to what they really want to do, what their voice is really itching to get out of them. Sometimes they just need to hear that somebody else did it and came through the fire.
Mm-hmm. You kind of alluded to the fact that nonprofit work is so personally rewarding, and you hear that over and over again with people who volunteer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get way more out of it
than
I ever get back.
We have volunteers that come, and we wouldn't know what they tell us when they leave. And sometimes they've pulled me aside, and I know they've pulled Jamie aside, and they will then say at the end of an hour, hour and a half, I can't tell you what has been going on in my life, but I can tell you this hour has changed my entire perspective, and I forgot about what was happening that was tearing me apart, and I almost didn't come today. Mm-hmm. And I thank God that he pointed me in this direction, because I feel so much better, and I want to thank you.
Recently, my daughter, who's now a freshman in college, my youngest, she had to do some service hours. And this is when we were in Nashville. And she's like, come with us, Mom, come with us. So every couple months, we'd go into Second Harvest Food Bank on a Saturday morning, and we would be part of this well-oiled assembly line machine putting together boxes for the food pantry. The thing I remember about those days we did last year, everybody there is so happy.
Yes.
Right? Because they know they're doing something good.
Yeah,
so
they're connecting, personally connecting. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're with church groups or schools. And for me, it made me feel bad that she's my youngest and I didn't do more of that with my older kids.
And you'd be surprised. I get a lot of calls from people who, some want to drop their career for their idea of this nonprofit that's been gnawing at them. And some want to start something on the side with this idea that they've had that's been gnawing at them. And the ideas that people have is just incredibly creative and fills a niche. And it's just so exciting for them and for me to hear, you know, what they might want to do. There's one woman in California, she called me, and I've been working with her for a while, and she redesigns bedrooms for children whose dads are in prison and are so contrite, and have been trying so hard to keep that connection with their families. Aww. Until they can be with them again. And so it's room for restoration, and they restore the love between the father and the child. And they'll nominate the child for a room makeover. And Wow. It's so beautiful. That's such an incredibly unique idea.
Yeah.
It's just, and there are so many ideas, little niches that, that people come up with. And it's about love. It's all about love and the human connection. Right or wrong, things happen. And people find these niches, and that's what gives them life when they wake up.
How do you respond to the jaded people who are like, blah, 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 yeah, it's so great. Do you still get that? Or are most people like, that's so cool?
Most people now are, that's so cool. In the beginning, when I trusted a few people to say, this is my idea, I'm going to give new pajamas and books to children. And, oh yeah, my career, I'm going to find a way, you know, to just let that go. That's when, I had some naysayers that really were difficult for me to, you know, to accept, because they were friends that I trusted.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get that. We're going to get that. I understand the financial risk. I do. You know, mm-hmm. And like you said, it's not all people that have to quit to do something that gives them life. Mm-hmm. You know, that you can find a way to do both if you have to.
As you look back to 18 years ago, Genevieve, when you started Pajama Program and you made that big courageous step to kind of drop the stuff that the world says we should all care about so much, and do something that really fulfilled your heart more? I know I'm pretty sure the answer is that you have no regrets, but is there one story in all that time that you think, yeah, I'm on the right track, I did the right thing?
Yeah, there are several. When I was hand delivering pajamas and books in New York City, a woman from a national magazine called and said, "Are you the lady giving pajamas out in Harlem?" And I said, "Yeah, I guess so." And she said, "Can I write a little article?" And I said, "Sure." So she asked me a few questions. You know, didn't think much about it. The article ran, "When I tell you tens of thousands of packages arrived at my one bedroom apartment, I had just gotten married. I couldn't see my husband in the room. We ate on the boxes. We got yelled at by the co-op board because they thought we had started some kind of a business, and every space in the storage rooms was taken up by boxes and packages that nobody knew what were in them." Mm-hmm. "I didn't know what was in them." Mm-hmm. "When we started opening them, we didn't know what to expect. There were letters, cards, pajamas and books, cash, checks from people who said, 'We read the story. We want to help the children. We want to help you help the children.'"
I got chills.
So we sat amidst the sea of handwritten notes. And funny story, we got one that said, "Please send us your 501c3 so we can get you a grant." I looked at my husband. I said, "What is this 501c3 thing?" But in that moment and that evening, I looked at him and I said, "This is now a responsibility. Aww. These people are trusting me. It's not just me in my spare time trying to figure it out as I went shelter to shelter." I said, "These people expect me to get these pajamas and books to the children ASAP. And in that moment, I said, "Whatever this 501, whatever it is, I better find out." You know, I can't tell you it's not scary. I can't tell you it's not. But I can tell you it's the best thing I ever did. And I hear that from people who have taken a jump themselves.
How long have you been doing this speaking and consulting?
Well, I've been doing it for a pajama program forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that was becoming my favorite part, mm-hmm. to share the story. And every year, more people were telling me they were considering making a major change. And over the years, it has been more and more about nonprofit work and about the staleness of the path they've been on. And I think they realize that I'm always telling people, if I can do it, anybody can. So they figured, let me ask the dumb one how she did it and didn't go to school and get a master's in how to start a nonprofit. Because if she can do it, maybe, you know, she can tell me if I'm crazy for taking baby steps. And no, you're not crazy for taking baby steps.
Is there someone that in the course of that 18 years, but particularly since you shifted to the consulting and speaking business, is there a story that stands out? I love the California story on the mm-hmm. the prisoners, but is there a story that stands out where you think, wow, yeah, I pushed this person to challenge themselves in a way they hadn't been challenged before?
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of it is getting the person sitting in front of you who looks scared and is telling you what their dream is. First, they usually, you know, there have been a couple of women and one man I'm thinking of, they're actually afraid to say, "I want to start this nonprofit that does XYZ. And they're waiting, because it is a niche idea, for me to tell them it's not enough or it's silly or whatever. And they're almost nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk it through, of course it makes sense. If they came up with it, they saw a need. And once they tell me what they saw, then I ask them, "You saw it. You're telling me. I feel it. If other people feel it, you're on the right track." Nobody comes up with a dumb idea. Not really. There's basis. There's truth in the reason you had this idea. You saw something. You saw something missing somewhere. And you want to fill that. And once they accept that, and we talk about the fear and the baby steps, and they don't have to quit on day one. I didn't quit on day one. I almost got fired on day, you know, 30 because I stopped caring and it was obvious. Mm-hmm. But getting them to accept the path that's going to be for the next 6 months or the year, is half the battle. Once they breathe through that, they realize that they'll have support, not just me being there cheering them on, but real support. I can point them in directions of things that they'll need, practical things that they'll need, things they have to think about, financial things, legal things, social things, emotional things. You know, one woman came to tell me she was afraid to tell her husband. I can tell her a little bit about being true to herself, but that was a question. Mm-hmm. You know, how far do I go when she's telling me she's afraid to tell her husband?
Yeah, that's big.
It's big. I knew it was big for her. Yeah. And she had to think it through and, you know, find the courage to have a discussion with him.
Genevieve Paturo, the founder of the Pajama Program and now a consultant and speaker. What kind of places hire you to come speak?
Lots of them. It can be an empowerment conference. Mm-hmm. It can be women. It could be mixed. It can be a college offering their students options. It can be doing a half-day seminar in Westchester County here for women's empowerment on the morning of May 1st, the morning of our evening gala for Pajama
Stack
Program.
It up.
Yeah, yeah. There are 15 of us speaking all about what can be next for women looking for fulfillment. Most of us trotting along on the path of making money and taking care of family and children. So what's next for you? So that type of a group, big or small. So it's any group that I wouldn't tell people to quit your job. That's not what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I'm telling them to explore that heart voice, to find a way
that
to make them
more.
Yes, to make them happier. Do more of what makes you happy.
And less of what doesn't.
Yeah.
That's pretty simple
stuff. Time passes.
It is sometimes easier just to be comfortable. But man, the rewards for getting out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, you said it.
Are pretty huge.
Yeah. It's just a little time you got to get through. Scary time.
But that's great. So people interested in having you come speak, how do they get your info?
Yep. They can go to GenevievePaturo.com. They can ask me questions. They can call me. I mean, I'm happy to answer questions and talk anybody through anything. And then, you know, if they need something long term, we can talk about that, or I can speak anywhere. But whatever people need, I'm happy to help.
I love that you think Genevieve Paturo is so easy to spell.
I know.
Genevieve. Every time I go to spell Genevieve, I'm like,
I know.
Which one is it? So spell it out.
GenevievePaturo.com.
And we have a few minutes left. Genevieve, I love you so much. Genevieve also happens to be a very loyal listener to the station.
Yes.
And a Blake Shelton stalker. I mean, fan.
Yes.
You and your mother.
Yes. She's 84 and she's in love with him as much as I am.
Oh, that's great.
I play the CD in the car all the time, and when those sexy songs come on, she says, oh my God, she's so sexy.
Oh, that's hilarious. I love that so much.
Yeah.
So Jamie Dice, the executive director now of the Pajama Program. Just for a minute, I see you watching Genevieve talk, and you almost seem like a proud little sister. Like she clearly has inspired you. You want to talk a little bit to that as a woman?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, actually, as Jen was talking about inspiring others, and you asked for examples, and I was sitting here wanting to nudge Jen. I mean, I too left behind an 11-year career practicing law here in Manhattan. You know, I grew up in Buffalo. I came to New York City with big dreams of, you know, becoming a fancy lawyer in the city. And after, you know, I think we all have our own personal stories, and you know, we all find things that draw us in. But the question is, well, what do you actually do about it? And I think Genevieve is a living, breathing testament to actually doing. And she takes action. I mean, you have you know, charted a course for so many others, and she sets an incredible example. So, you know, after volunteering for a while and joining the board of Pajama Program, and also doing a lot of pro bono work with another nonprofit here in the city that helps young women and girls who have survived commercial sexual exploitation, I saw that there was a lot happening in my life in that moment, kind of led me all roads kind of led to pajama program in a way. And I'll never forget this. Jen and I became close as I was on the board and getting to know her. And we were at dinner one night and you said to me, well, so how do you feel about this law thing? And immediately, you know, my eyes, I'm like, why? But I have to tell you, at the time I was in maybe not the greatest relationship. And I remember at one point, I don't know if I ever told you this, Jen. He had said to me at one point, he's like, you know, you spread yourself too thin. And I think a lot of women do that. It's like, you're spreading yourself too thin. You know, you're always working and yet you're on this board and you're doing all this other stuff. And, you know, you want to go see your friends and like, what about me? And it became one of those. And I thought about it. And he said, so I think it was around the time when I became on the board and I was, you know, chairing the board. And he said, I think you should say no, you should turn that down. And I looked at him like, that's not even an option. I'm following my heart. That's the furthest thing from what I want. And here I am, fast forward years later. And
he's gone and you're here.
He's gone. Thank goodness. Yep. So I'm here. And Pajama Program is truly a love of my life. And I feel really, really passionate about it. And I wouldn't be here were it not for Genevieve. A lot of us at Pajama Program wouldn't be here were it not for Genevieve in our positions right now and working on building something that's a legacy of hers and wanting to make her proud. And I have nothing but amazing things to say about the path that Genevieve has cut for all of us. It's incredible what she leaves behind for us to.
You followed your heart.
I did it.
Yeah. You know, I nudged you, but you were halfway there because I said, oh, maybe I see something and I can speak and I have the perfect person after, you know, I say it all the time, after 15 years of in the back of my mind, always wondering who's going to take Pajama Program when I know I want to go and speak and help other people start things, and never found anybody until Jamie. So you followed your heart and it was a perfect connection, a perfect human connection, and the timing was perfect. And it's the universe that's a partner. It's a silent partner in everything, and it
you
exists.
You can say the God word, probably.
Yeah, I mean, certainly God, the universe, spiritual help. Mm-hmm. It is definitely a major part of when you are on track, of it keeping and helping remind you that you are on track.
Well, you are both an inspiration, not to mention that you're giving kids who wouldn't have pajamas. You're exposing them to books, making those connections through the Reading Center. You can donate to help renovate the Reading Center. You can donate to the program. You can have Genevieve come talk to your school or your business or whatever. There's so many elements to this. And you can find all the information to reach out to Jamie, to reach out to Genevieve, pajamaprogram.org. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Kelly. Woo-hoo. Thank you, everybody who's listening.
Thank you.
May 1st, the big gala. You can find the information about that there as well.
If you'd like your organization or charity featured on New York Matters, contact us through our website at newyorkscountry947.com. And thank you for listening to New York Matters on New York's Country 94.7.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!